Okay, let's call the February 10th, 2020 Historic Preservation Commission meeting to order. Can I please have roll called?
Chair Dan Huff.
Present.
Vice Chair Dan Beal.
Present.
Commissioner Bowen. Commissioner Hannestad.
Present.
Commissioner Munden.
Present.
Commissioner Tomei.
Here.
And Commissioner Wilson.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any blue cards or no?
No.
Okay. Council Member Solomon, do you have any comments, liaison comments today?
At a prior council meeting, you might recall we had a presentation on Steam Pump Ranch, and I think the big question that came up is, what obligations is the town under to preserve the property, and are we meeting those obligations? We typically have been looking at pretty low levels of funding, like $50,000 a year, and this commission may want to consider another future agenda item, looking at perhaps having a town identify some type of financial source to meet the commitments of Steam Pump Ranch and perhaps even pull it out of the Parks and Rec budget, because it really shouldn't be competing with whether a playground is refurbished or a ball field is reseeded. We took on certain obligations, and as mentioned during the presentation, those buildings are deteriorating. If they're not stabilized and preserved, and every year that goes by, they deteriorate, and it's going to increase the cost of preserving them. And we're not even talking about restoration, which is another issue. But initially, we have to preserve, and then we have to look at the restoration. And restorations are expensive. We're looking $1 million-plus items, and we're not going to get there at $50,000 a year. So I'm glad we had that presentation, and that might be something, you know, perhaps what the commission wants to start really looking at and stressing. And this is the appropriate time. We're just starting our budget cycle. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. In terms of informational items, agenda item number one, current information for Historic Preservation Commissioners. Lynanne?
Received a copy of the informational items for you, and I just highlighted and actually wanted to mention a few things that are in those informational items. One is that I went to the National Trust for Historic Places, which is where I they're who are in charge of the Historic Preservation Commission, conferences, that the national ones that I attend, and they also work directly with national parks over national registry properties. They're the big entity within the United States that makes sure that historic properties are preserved. They're also who we apply to for grants. So there was a couple quotes that I wanted to pull out this time. One of them is preservation and sustainability. In recent years, sustainability has come to mean more than simply being environmentally responsive. Older buildings are a key component to creating successful cities and neighborhoods. Historic fabric creates economically vital, socially equitable, and strong, resilient neighborhoods, and I'll say towns and cities. And then preservation and re-herbalization. As cities grow and change, they should do so leveraging the assets they already have. Older buildings have the enormous power and potential to improve health, affordability, prosperity, and well-being. Ultimately, it's the mix of the old and the new buildings working together to fashion dense, walkable, and thriving streets that help us achieve a more prosperous, sustainable, and healthier future. The National Trust's work in cities to make adaptive reuse the default development option, and it's called re-herbalization, which is promoting building reuse as essential to economic growth and vibrant communities. And I wanted to point those things out because as we further discussions about Steam Pump Ranch and maybe the RFI or RFP. Those are things to keep in mind. And then I also I pulled some notes that had been going around the Historical Society, actually. They were passing around the Empire Ranch newsletter and saying, this is really cool. The commission or the society should be doing some of these things. So if you notice, they're talking at schools, but they're talking at schools on our side of town. And if you know where Empire Ranch is, it's down very, very far away in Sonoyta and down in wine country. So so at any rate, I think that those are some movements we, working together with the Historical Society, should try to accomplish instead of having them get their history on cattle from Sonoyta. They should be getting it from their region. And then I also want to point out that they have a little work day. Well, we have a gentleman who does a lot, and he's here, who does a lot of the work at Steam Pump Ranch. His name is Mike, and he will be doing some more workshops on the Adobe, but then some other workshops can maybe follow that, and we can have some of those same volunteer work days that are mentioned in your educational brief right there. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Informational item number two, report from Oro Valley Historical Society President, Ms. Roxy. To get on the record.
Okay, can you hear me? Okay. First of all, I want to thank you all for having us give our report every month. And this evening, I wanted to thank the mayor for coming to our meeting. So we've had a busy month. We, at our board meeting a couple of weeks ago, we had a guest from Questers, which is an international group that helps with restoration and preservation, at our January meeting. And this group gives grants out to local groups. And so we're going to be looking into that and see the grants go according to the size of the group. And we are not one of the larger groups, but we're still very good for that. Our website is up and running again. Now it has the capability to forward questions from individuals to the appropriate committee chair within our group, which is great because now that committee chair can answer the question and not just have Paul try to answer everything. He knows a lot, but sometimes the committee chairs know more. On display, we have, it's based on World War II, and the letters that Henry Zipp wrote home to his mom. It will be open every Saturday this month. If you have a chance, we'd love to have you come see it. It's very patriotic, and it's a really nice display. We are planning for docents for March 21st. Leanne told us that we are going to be the kickoff place for the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. We're going to be open from 9 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, and they'll be coming to see us first and then on to other venues. Last Saturday, we had 120 guests at the Push House, which was phenomenal. We're still selling tickets to our priceless fundraiser event. The event is March 12th. The deadline for the tickets is March 1st, and I have the flyer with me if anybody's interested in this. Good. Thank you. That's it. Thank you very much. Any questions for me?
Any questions?
I would like to make a comment. Thanks to Paul. I, on Saturday, headed over to the Push House and saw the display that Roxy's talking about, and I was very impressed, and I'm going to, first of all, say that I've made a lot of comments about over the years about priorities, and I said that not necessarily say my priorities have changed, but I said a lot of those comments not really knowing what they were doing. And now I've seen it. And it is a great partnership. It can be a great partnership between the Historical Society, what they're doing out there, and what our job is. So I just want to say, having haven't been to any of the presentations that they're giving, especially what they have now, it was, and my wife and my daughter and her friend were all there, and they just loved it. So it's worthwhile.
It's enough to knock your socks off. And what the ladies, the committee has been doing is they picked a theme for every month in the year. That is September through May. And then we have that display up, and we're going to be going to a point where we're open every Saturday. And that same theme lasts throughout the month, and then the next month we get a new display. And we have so many things that we could not show them all in a year. So we're going to be able to rotate the years, too. So we thank you for your support.
Yeah, if I can add one more thing, too. She talked about it being the letters from Henry Ziff to his mom from World War II, but something I didn't realize is that Henry Ziff ran for Congress. So there, it's way more than just those letters home. And so I would highly recommend before this month is over that you take a stop by and see that display. And then again, as the months proceed, see what else they have.
Just a reminder, this is an informational item, so we can't get into this type of discussion
in
the future.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay, we will. Thank you, Roxy, very much. We'll move on to informational item number 3, and this is Commissioner Munden's report in her capacity as HPC liaison to the Historical Society.
Ms. Munden. But first we have to review the minutes.
That's
January 13th. Oh, okay, sorry.
Okay. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Yes, at the last meeting, I reported from our Historic Preservation Commission meeting about our votes of no by the four of us. And also I'd like to say that Roxy was talking about opening 4 days a month. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to achieve Tier 2 status, and that requires 104 hours opening. And once they can get that status, they can apply for a lot of grants. And so that's why they're trying to do that. And that's all. Everything else is for agenda items.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sorry.
Okay, we'll move on to regular session agenda item number 1, which is review and approval of the January 13th, 2020 meeting minutes. Hopefully commissioners have had a chance to review those. Are there any changes, additions, modifications? Go ahead.
Yes, I have several issues with the minutes. The first issue I have with the minutes are that I feel that Mr. Loomis's comments at the beginning of the meeting were not accurately portrayed. And rather than have another Creasy made of his comments, I wonder if it is possible to attach his actual submission to the commission as an addendum to the meeting minutes.
I'm afraid that is impossible. By state law, it has to be action minutes. So you don't do anything verbatim. You only do just a quick summary.
Okay, then I think we need a quick summary that makes it considerably more clear that the issue that was being addressed by the comments was a apparent error in having an item on the agenda at all. I don't believe that the agenda item that was number 3 at the last meeting should have been on an agenda at all, given the fact that no eligible commission member had made such a submission.
Any other corrections or modifications to the minutes?
Again, we go to the actual treatment of agenda item 3. And maybe it is a problem with the software that is used for the minutes, but I do not feel that we conducted a vote, and yet four of us are recorded as voting no. I believe that the question that was put to us, were any of the eligible commissioners desirous of filing a motion to reconsider? It was not a vote on a motion to reconsider, and therefore to say that we voted is totally inappropriate.
Any other comments?
Chair Huff?
Yes.
I had some comments. I was unable to attend the last meeting, and in reviewing the meeting minutes, I noticed some votes wherein which the new commission member, Eric, abstained, and the votes were listed as 6-0, and I think those are 5-0 votes, and the vote to adjourn should be 6-0, not 7-0, because I didn't attend and I didn't vote, so it didn't seem possible to have 7-0.
Thank you, Commissioner Bowen.
I have one more.
Yes, go ahead.
Again, this may well be a software issue, but where there is a vote recorded, should not the motion that the vote was taken on also be noted? Because we are having votes recorded against a nondescribed motion.
Well, I think, I have several comments to those, but I can't address those on this agenda. I think we're just doing modifications, additions. So there would be a different time for us to address those. I think some of that's perspective, but those are noted, your modifications on the record. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Not at the moment.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Munden, did you have, okay. Anybody else? Do we have a motion to approve those minutes as?
I make a motion that we approve the minutes of January the 13th, 2020.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
I apologize, we've gone a little too quickly. I'm confused. So he's made suggestions to modifications. Are we modifying them?
Well,
if we approve them, then they can't be modified.
That wasn't the,
go ahead.
That wasn't your motion. Your motion should be to approve the minutes as modified.
Okay. I make a motion. Can I do that again?
By all means, yes.
I make a motion to approve the minutes as modified for January the 13th, 2020 meeting.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Those are approved. Thank you. Regular agenda item number 2 is review and approval of the 2019 annual report that was presented at the last meeting. Several commissioners had not had an opportunity to review that. Hopefully, the commission has had a chance to do that since. Are there any questions or comments regarding the review?
Just a question. I'm not sure whether this is a problem with my Kindle reader or whether it is a problem in the generation of the report. But on my Kindle, there were a number of failures to translate that showed up as blank spots. And one of the most glaring blank spots I saw was the omission of Commissioner or Gale's name in the application. And I have access to no other reader than a Kindle reader, but if somebody who has a different reader could check to see whether it was a glitch on the general software side or whether it's simply a glitch on my Kindle side.
And I don't have an independent recollection of what that looks like when it's actually printed out. I don't know if we have anybody.
I looked at it on my iPad and it was fine. On the iPad, it was fine, but he's got a modem on a hard line.
Okay. So hopefully that isn't a universal problem and it won't replicate.
Chair Huff, what I'm abstaining from this vote because I wasn't here in 2019, but at the same time, can we look to tell staff and find out what the official document will be? And I assume the official document has what is being referred to as missing from Ms. Kimball.
We have a printout of that.
Not at the moment, but we do have a printout.
So what do you want to do? I mean,
well, so the question would be if the commissioners are wanting to ensure that that is actually correct in the physical form, we would table it again so that we could verify it, or...
Or if you believe it's... If it is... if you've seen it in that condition...
Right, I looked at the whole thing on my iPad,
and it was fine.
Okay. So, but if he didn't get a chance to look at it...
Chair, for clarification, it does appear that Gail's last name in her application is not printing fully.
Oh, yes. It's a UN and an EN, which is not your last name. So, commissioners, what we could do is we could have that corrected, that correction noted, that town staff would correct it, and we could have a motion to approve the minutes, or I'm sorry, the annual report.
Why don't you have the document here at the next meeting so that it can be verified?
If that's what the commission wants to do, if someone wants to move, otherwise we can table. Okay. So we'll add that back on.
You have to move to table it.
I move to table.
Second.
Okay, all in favor of tabling?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
And I abstained.
Okay. So Commissioner Tomei abstained. Okay, we will move on to agenda item number 3, which is progress report on work performed resulting from the 2014 steam pump ranch condition assessment. Is this the PowerPoint? Okay.
If you'd like to grab this microphone and take it with you, and it should record you.
Will that work? No.
Will this? Will it go over to there?
Yes.
Hello. I just wanted to make sure it was moving. Okay. You all received a copy of the assessment report, and I just want to let you know that for the purposes of today's meeting, I'm just doing a few of the buildings, and because of the proximity as I entered the property, we discovered we were taking many, many photos, so it's going to take several meetings before we get through the whole property. And we started at the back. So I had those of you who know Joel know that he's one of the right-hand guys there on the property, and he helped me with these photographs. I did request that Mike be present. He's the one who did the work on the chicken coops, in case you all have some questions that I can't answer on that. So I'm starting at the back of the book and the back of the property at the chicken coops, okay? So here's the condition assessment. It gives a little history, or this is a clip from the assessment. It gives a little history on the ranch, and the assessment report is from 12/19 of 2014. So basically, we had approved it and everything in 2015 because of its late proximity in 2014. So it points out many of the things that are an error, and looks like I have a typo here as well. It says recommendation is to cover all exposed adobe. The missing stucco is actually a missing wooden piece as a decoration and as a seam to between the two coops. The correct piece of wood has been identified, but due to the wind damage, minor completion details have not been taken care of. So that was just
aesthetics that we were going to take care of when the coops were completed. What you can see from the right-hand side here is the coops as they are right now, and that particular section, and we did identical pictures, that section was the section that was damaged when the mini tornado slash big microburst hit Steam Pump Ranch in either late November or December. And so it says, much repair was done to the chicken coops. This is the section where the roof was lifted and removed by the mini tornado. Prior to that time, Mike was completing the coops and planning to move on to the hatchery or butchery. I've heard it called both. They quoted me and called it a hatchery, but I don't know what it really was. But we'll go to that building next, or after the coops, the end of the coops. So in their report, they're talking about how the trees are hitting the structure, and their recommendation is to trim trees and remove dead branches and mistletoe. And wall portions of the stucco have fallen off. Openings, glass windows, and frames are in place. Walls, the gray-colored stucco appears to be cement-based stucco. But here's the coops today, and we took some very good pictures of the trees. Yes, it is close to the base of the chicken coops, but we felt like we didn't need to take it down. We just trimmed it way back, got rid of the mistletoe. And so these are the two trees that you see in the prior photo. Mike actually did a really good job making this tree fit in with his roof. This is a part of the roof that didn't blow away. And then you can see we've trimmed it away from the building elsewhere. Does anybody have any questions on any of that so far? Okay. Then they're showing this back section, which is the section that was filled with debris and trash, and it really was an eyesore of the property. And that was the very first area that we started working on with the Adobe workshops and stuff. But they have a battery of things that they're mentioning here. And their recommendations are to cover Adobe with a tarp and support brace to prevent additional movement of the... I don't even know what that word is. Sorry. Remove Adobe as it is potential safety hazard. Cover the tops of the walls where there is no roof with a tarp. Anyways, we went way beyond their recommendations, and we have really done a great job with that section. And so here's what it looks like now. All cleaned up and covered, and so there is no exposed Adobe. And what Adobe is... at the edges, we were taught how to do a sacrificial cap is what it's called, where you reapply mud to allow that to be what's melting instead of the adobe. So that is looking really nice down there, and Mike has done a really good job to clean it up inside. So it's something we can be proud of now. This is the backside of the coops where he will continue, again, he being Mike, will continue to do Adobe workshops. We have done some back there, and the white that you see is the lime plaster that they refer to in the stabilization report. So the lime plaster was put on there to prevent the melting. As we've mentioned before, the assessment was done with really only a 2-year window or a 3-year window of it holding up without doing more. So as you can see, we're a little beyond that with the back, but it is on his to-do list along with many other things at the ranch, including the repair and the hatchery. As you'll see here, it's in not too good a shape. No. This is actually the end of the coops. These are the wooden sides. So the picture again on your left is what they looked like. On your right is what they look like right now. Mike has plans to put, he used the wood from here on some of the other areas, because what you do when you're just demonstrating what time and weather does to things, which is what we've pretty much done with this. We want it to stay on the property. It is part of the historic core. It has a story to tell, but we wanted to stabilize it, not tear it down and rebuild it. We don't want to have the look of brand new, but we want the wood that's new to be obvious compared to the wood that's there. And so this is an area where he's going to do a combination of new and old wood, because it's so visual. But much of the wood from that was there, he utilized in other areas of the coops. So that's why you don't see the wood filled in there yet. That was on his to-do list before the microburst. But you can see how much that's a part of the adobe that he did a lot of work on, and it's beautiful, that particular little piece. So he's got the techniques down. Again, on your left, you can see how bad it all looked. It was very unstable. He has completely stabilized all of that. So that's a long-term stabilization that he has done there. Probably will need to have little tweaks done on a regular basis because of its age, but it's that section is looking really good. Again, more about the trees hitting, lots of pictures of the chicken coops. This is the internal sections, and again, you can see where it wasn't in very good shape. All of the pictures that have the red arrows are the older pictures, and then, here is what it looks like now with the roof on it, the cleanup done. Mike has, and we've kept the doors. We're still not completed with this project, but it is well along its way. It no longer has to be a priority except for the damage from the microburst. However, the hatchery butchery does need to be something that we have on our immediate to-do list, and I think that's right up there for Mike. So these are the older photos, but the newer photos don't look a whole lot better and possibly a lot worse. So anyways, it was on his next list, and the microburst has made him have to go backwards a bit, but that stabilization project is all lined up on our work list. So Carlos's house. So the two structures that I am hitting tonight.
Lynn, we have a question up here.
Oh yes, I'm sorry.
Commissioner Tomei.
Yes.
You can click at the base of the to the right here.
Before you move on.
Okay.
Do we know that we have enough of that building left? Do we know where it fits in the criteria that historic building, that criteria between restoration versus it being considered a ruin? I mean, that one's got to be questionable whether or not it's at a place where you can do much other than make it a ruin at this point.
Well, that's actually not accurate because it doesn't have any interior walls where we would have to conjecture what it was like. It still has its exterior walls. We can see the angle of the roof. It does have, even though it looks pretty bad, it does have stabilizing boards across holding it up right now, which is why the microburst didn't tear it down. So it's not going to deteriorate past where it is, and the enough of the original fabric exists in it. It's not like it's melted down and we would have to fabricate what we thought it looks like. It is still in existence.
We just have to put it back.
We just have to put it back. And we'll do it the same way we did the wooden sections of the chicken coops. If you go in there, you'll see an internal skeleton. And then he took down the outside wood and stabilized, the framework, and then put those pieces of wood back up. We have everything that we need to do it just as it was. So.
And it was merely an opinion, not meant to be a statement of fact.
Yeah,
it was in ruin form.
So the short answer was yes.
Yes,
we have
exactly.
enough of the building left that we can meet that criteria
yeah.
and maintain the
integrity.
Maintain the integrity.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. When it came to the pump house, so much of it was gone that there would be conjecture, and that's why it's a ruin. So Carlos's house, the barbecue was originally constructed as a shade structure. Shade structure around the 1930s to the 1950s, and over the year, the structure has been added to and enclosed to be a hired hands quarters. So that's the history. Here it is on the master plan, and I wanted to point this out because you can see the sections that will come out, and that front wall will open up. Having it be a barbecue gathering space. One of the changes that we will make over the plan as it states here is that room on the side, instead of being a restroom, will be a classroom. And that will allow, you know, lots of things to happen there on the ranch that need a place. And then the other thing that was master planned in here is a sink, so that if we do cooking, there's some place to clean hands and foodstuffs. So I did want to point that out. Here is the back of on your top left is the back at the time of the condition assessment, and across from it is the same photograph and what it's like now. We took off the boards when we had the work done in 2017, they repaired some of the wooden frames around the windows and replaced some of the glass. You can see on this next one down that the piece of wood in that window, I had them leave because I wasn't sure what all would happen when we did the restoration. And the same with the paint in the front. That's supposed to come out. And so I didn't have that piece of glass replaced, but that'll be a simple replacement when we do get to this building. You can see that it's looking much better. One of the things that they recommended on this building was making sure we had the rain guttering and that it came down and it didn't pool below the buildings but had a splash pad. So that has been added around the building. So many of the things that were recommended on the outside of the building were taken care of with that immediately or in 2017 when the stabilization occurred and the painting and spit and shine, as I call it. The one thing that we did find that they had said that the roof didn't seem in really bad shape, and as those of you who've been on the commission for a couple years know, I brought in a lot of photographs that the roof was really rotten and in terrible shape. We had it covered with tarps and sandbags a year ago, actually, or 2 years ago, and that we did replace the roof in the sections that are going to be kept. So the roof is now in good shape. So the side that faces, I believe that's south, yeah, they had a water heater out there and had a big hole, and it was, you can see the ground looks wet from, there must have been some rain at that period of time. Again, we've got the stuff along the roof to the guttering to keep the water away from getting too close to the building, and the window frames have been secured. But we do have some issues with this building on the inside. So the picture up on your left is from the original assessment and shows that where the water heater was on the outside, there was opening. The picture down below, you can see that was all sealed up. The window frame, they talk about the window, it says gaps around the window. All of that was fixed when we did the windows and doors and stuff a few years ago. So that's in much better shape. But I am going to point out that there's some moisture here, and that will be highlighted in the next. We have been trying to figure out where this water is coming from, but something called basal coving, which is where you've got you're very down very far on your adobe walls, and you've got adobe melting away, which obviously anytime you have a structure where the base is melting away, you've got a problem. We've made sure that there's no water hitting the building from the irrigation. So we're hoping that this will look dry. It's not coming from the window. There's no moisture at the window. So, and this is above ground, which is kind of interesting. So we don't know where this moisture is coming from. But that's something that needs to be studied with this particular building. The other thing that is notable in this particular building is the picture up on your left shows floor, and they do say large cracks in concrete floor, but if you look at the large cracks that they're showing there and the large cracks that we have now, they are much bigger, and I'm concerned that big, heavy fireplace, barbecue, is putting so much pressure. You can see it looks like it's lowering that part of the concrete. So, there is work that historic preservationists can do, their helical piers and stuff that they can do to support that concrete. And that looks like it's needed. The opening above the roof above the ceiling, above the barbecue that they're pointing out there, we still have that same hole, but it's now filled with the wood base that you're seeing is now the new wood that was put on with the roof job that was recently completed. So, and that's the new wood. So, again, the walls at the time that the assessment was done and how they're continuing to deteriorate, it looks worse now than it did then. I actually took a picture of this because they did things very funny. So there's a whole bunch of cement block shoved in there. It doesn't look like it's a situation where if some work isn't done in there, that's going to hold up in the long term. Although it held up for Carlos, but who knows. And this is in the back room. Again, you can see the two pictures below the window. This is the one window that on the outside I didn't have the glass replaced is wood. But you can definitely see that the deterioration is much more severe now than it was at the time of the assessment in 2015. They talk about a roof wall possible leak at one point happened. Maybe the further deterioration of that occurred back when the before we replaced the roof, but you can see that it definitely looks deeper and there's been a continuation of damage. This is the floor just below that. So a little bit of basal coving down there. And that's just a picture looking into the room. There's an identical picture to that in the assessment. Next month, I'll move on to the Proctor Lieber House. It is big. There is a lot of roof information in that section. And so with Mike and Joel's help, we'll get identical pictures to match up what's in the assessment. Does anybody have any questions while I'm still here?
Commissioner Munda.
On the front of the garage, when you say remove the windows, are they going to put a door there or anything, like the garage doors or anything there?
That wasn't the garage.
That's the barbecue.
The barbecue.
You said you were going to remove the front wall of the barbecue?
Yes, because that's the way it was historically.
And that's just going to be open air?
It is open. It's a Ramada, which is the way it was originally built.
Thank you for everything.
Yeah. Any more questions?
Thank you, Lynn-Ann. That was fantastic.
Did we agendize any discussion?
No.
Even though that was on the future agenda item from last week?
It just says progress report.
So we don't have any time to actually discuss the memorandum.
If you do, I'd definitely get on the next one. Say discussion.
Chair Huff, I did have a
yes, question. Commissioner Bowen.
Lynn?
Yes.
In terms of the damage, I know you're very, very familiar with these properties. You've been through them for many years. Have we had any expert opinions from outside as to what they assess the cause of the damages is as well? Any differing opinions from what you're venturing to us as to what's causing the decay?
The assessment report, the original assessment report, was done by an outside agency. That is not an internal report.
I guess I could ask the question, has it been updated? Have, you know, their findings been updated based upon what we're seeing currently in terms of the degradation?
No, that that assessment was purchased through grant funds and is a costly report to have done. That's not something that's currently funded. It is something that you can request, as Steve was saying. I'm sorry, as Councilmember Solomon was saying.
Any other questions? Okay. We will move on to item number 4. Lenny, and I think this is you as well, local registry report.
Okay, for an update on the local registry, there hasn't been a whole lot of progress, but I have made some contacts and I've had an email. I wanted to share those with you. I sent an email to Susan, which was a name that was given to us by a resident from the Oro Valley Country Club as she visited the Push House. So that name was passed on to me via Gail, and a member of the Historical Society passed it on to her. So that's an avenue that's working even outside of steam pump ranch issues. And I also called another gal named Joan Milner, who visited the ranch a while back and started asking some questions. And she's from Suffolk Hills and is interested in learning more about our local registry. I think she's on the board there of the homeowners. And so those were two really good contacts. Tracy Alexander, as you all remember, she's the gal who wants to add on to her garage. And she wrote me an email that said, hi, Lynn-Ann, just wanted to let the historic HPC, she put R, HPC know that there is nothing to report on our historical property with regards to the building a garage. Other aspects of life have taken us away from this project for a period of time, but we are proceeding with the variance request now and are hoping to get on the Board of Adjustment schedule in March. So she's going to keep us informed. And then I also wanted you to know that I'll be working, this is connected, although it's not local registries, it's connected. Also wanted to let you know that I'll be working with Joe Loon, is that how you say his name? Lenny, from the town staff, and we'll begin doing oral histories. So I may call some of you to help me with that project. And then kids will be turning in their essay soon, and we are on the April 15th council agenda to give those presentations.
Was that part of your department report as well?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was my... I'm sorry. That one was supposed to be from the department report. The other one, we really have the connection of the oral histories with the local registries. That was something from a long time ago. We kept those two connected. So, sorry about that.
We want to count that as agenda item 6 as well?
If you're ready for me to go on to agenda item 6.
I'll do number 5 first. Okay, so number 5 is the election of the chair and vice chair. So I have to start that conversation, a couple of quick comments. So this is the beginning of my 6th year on the commission. So I term out at the end of the year in December. I have greatly enjoyed being on the commission, and obviously I intend to continue out. Oro Valley's a very special place to me and my family. I think a lot of people don't realize my family almost 100 years ago, bought a bunch of land in what's now Oro Valley. It's now what CDO High School's on, part of the campus at least, James Cree Park, Push Ridge Christian Academy, CDO Baptist, that was all built on that property. So Oro Valley continues to be a very special place to me and my family. My kids are here, my wife is here. I have tremendous respect for each commission member. I know that we don't always agree when we're up here, but the important part is that we debate in a respectful way. I think that makes the work of this commission stronger. It certainly makes the preservation work of the town stronger. All of that said, I think that it's very important to have some fresh blood in terms of leadership on this commission. I've very much enjoyed chairing it for the past year, but I think it's a great opportunity. We have a number of new commission members. I think it's a great opportunity for there to be different leadership. So to be clear, if that was roundabout in any way, I do not wish to be nominated as chair or vice chair. I'm not being presumptuous in saying that either. I just want to make my position known. So thank you all very much, and I encourage you guys to nominate new folks. So with that, if anybody wants to make any nominations. Yes, Commissioner Honestad.
Yes, I would like to nominate Commissioner Munson for the office of chair.
Second.
Okay. I would like to nominate, if he's willing to accept, Commissioner Tomei for chair. I know that he's done a stint before, and he's back again. So I would make that motion.
Second.
Okay. So right now, if it isn't clear, what we're doing is building a slate. So if anybody has any other nominations for chair, now's the time to do that. Okay, so we have two nominations for chair, and so we will vote on that. So I guess direction from legal, how do you want us to canvass votes?
As Mundine was the first one, you would vote on chair for Mundine.
Okay.
And then vote on Tomei if they don't receive a majority.
Okay. Was that clear to everybody, just so that we're clear on the terms?
I didn't hear it.
Okay, so because Commissioner Mundine was the first nomination, we as a commission will vote. If she does not receive a majority, then we would go to our second nomination, which was Commissioner Tomei. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. So
what do the nominees do?
You're allowed to vote for yourselves.
Okay, so everybody in favor of Commissioner Mundine serving as the upcoming chair on the Historic Preservation Commission, say aye.
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 Okay, that's three. Any opposed? Well, I mean, I guess by not saying aye, it's opposed.
Right.
So then that's not a majority. Right. So we'll move on to, I'm just checking my math. So then we'll move on to Commissioner Tomei. All in favor of Commissioner Tomei serving as chair, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
So that is that's what we call an impasse. So that's.
And that's why we have seven members.
we're missing a critical tiebreaker here.
Yes, you are.
It's not like my home state.
Now, at this point in time, it might be a good idea to go on to vice chair, and then we'll come back and address chair.
Okay, so it's the same scenario in terms of canvassing for vice chairs. Commissioner Beal will say that's a very important position. I don't know if he wishes to continue serving in that capacity. I don't want to speak for Commissioner Beal. But I'll nominate you.
I've enjoyed the position, and I appreciate the position, so I would continue.
And I would second.
Okay. Are there any other nominations for vice chair? Okay, do we even need to hold a vote then? I mean, other than approving him.
You should formally vote on it.
Okay, so all in favor of Commissioner Beal serving as vice chair, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
Now I'm going to ask, if nobody's going to change their position at this point in time, you should probably table it till the next meeting.
Okay. So I'll let anybody who wants to speak on that piece. Do all votes remain unchanged in terms of the chair? Okay. So what we'll do is we'll ask that it get placed back on future. Do we need a vote to actually put it back on?
You need to place it on the next agenda.
Okay. So I move to put the vote for the chair on the next. It would be, I guess, the March agenda.
A second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Lynette, now the department report, or the conclusion of it.
Okay. As I stated, the kids will be turning in their essays soon before the end of the month, and we will are on the April 15th council agenda. And then also, Christy gave a Steam Pump Ranch history and financial background at the January 22nd. Was that the date? I believe the 22nd council meeting, which spurred a lot of discussion. And I recommend you listen to that council meeting if you get a chance. It was very early on the agenda, and so you don't have to listen to the whole thing. I mentioned a few months ago that we received a grant from SHPO that allowed us to look at the buildings at Steam Pump Ranch to determine their best use, or as is mentioned in the informational packet, the idea of re-urbanization, promoting building reuse is essential to economic growth and vibrant communities. We have not selected a consultant for this project yet because we hope it will tie into the Parks Master Plan project. And so the next item, if you stop to buy on second Saturday or the concert on the first Friday, which we're back to back, you may have had the opportunity to place dots in an area that you would like to see developed in our parks within Oro Valley, including other, which many people wrote in, as the Heritage Park or Steam Pump Ranch. So this is a Parks Master Plan update process, and there is a link from the town's website where you can also vote. They are getting pretty far along on the process, so I would recommend you go home and do that right away. So and then Matt and Christy received the following email, and I thought it would interest you. As a member of my local Historic Preservation Society out here in New Hampshire, I wanted to let the Oro Valley Historic Preservation Commission know your links and resource pages have been a big help. We currently are hosting a weekly history research seminar at our library. It's basically an introductory course where we teach people how to start diving into family research and historical information they're looking for. I'm happy to report it's been a huge success. The library staff is even talking about making a permanent part of their schedule in 2020. Anyways, thanks again. I referenced your page when I was putting together the research guide for attendees. So I thought that was really cool. And then just an FYI, we will be adding a playground to Naranja Park that will adjust the roadway and create a situation where short-term access to Naranja Park will be off of Tangerine Road for a period of time. So if you need to come into that park, if you're visiting me at my office or something, come up off of Tangerine Road. So.
Didn't know there was an entrance on the north
side. It's called Musette, the name of the road. You come in, it's the far side. There's a subdivision up there, and the west side of that subdivision has a road called Musette, and you bring that in and on down into the park. That will be temporary access. I don't think they're going to keep it open all the time, but while that construction's going, that is the park access. Okay.
Thank you, Lynn-Ann.
Thank you.
So lastly, future agenda items. So this is a time that I know, Commissioner Tomei, you wanted a discussion on that other agenda item, but this is the time that people need to be really specific in terms of what you want on the future agenda. So are there any items you want added?
Yes.
Commissioner Munden.
I would like to have explained to us and discuss our contractual obligations to Pima County. As Mr. Solomon spoke of at the January 22nd council meeting, we would like to see bond documents or any other contractual obligations, and can we see a proposed budget and timeline that realizes those obligations? I would like HPC's defined powers. Are they just what's stated in the Historic Preservation Code? And I would like to say right now that Article 6, 10.1 and that code says that we are to provide incentives for restoration by owners of landmarks of historic property. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Tomei.
Maybe bootstrapping a little bit, in addition to the contractual, which is what I thought we were going to discuss this week, this month. That's the easement. The contract is the easement. So I would like to discuss the easement. I would like to present. I've now got 6 years of experience dealing with the easement. I'd like to actually have some time to discuss with the easement, at least my opinion, as to what the easement says. But we also have a pseudo-contract with the town, which is called the master plan from 2008. We need to have a discussion on that master plan, figure out where we are in that master plan. Before we talk about updating any master plan, we ought to know what the original master plan is. And then I thought that we were going to, I thought this was, and maybe it's already on the agenda, future agenda items, and just wasn't placed on this one. But from that, we ought to have our priorities. We ought to have a discussion on the priorities so that the next time something comes up, we're not just responding to an emergency situation, we're actually preserving and planning based on the master plan and the easement. So I think it all goes in one. And I would actually make the suggestion that it be the only thing on the agenda. Okay.
Well, I was going to say that that's ambitious, but do you want, so you want all three of those items, the easement, the master plan, and priorities for the entire property on the next agenda?
Well,
I'm just
again,
clarification.
I think it's one, and so maybe I'm doing a poor job of stating what it is. It's Steam Pump Ranch. Where are we going? For lack of a better word.
Fair enough.
And what guides us? Appropriately so, legal counsel.
I hate to get involved in this, but let me see what I've got after this meeting. Item one, move to remove 2019 annual report review and approval from the table. Item two, if removed from the table, review and approval of the 2019 annual report. Item three, election of the chair for the HPC. Item four, progress report and discussion on work performed resulting from the 2014 steam pump branch condition assessment. Item five, discuss contractual obligations with Pima County, discuss the easement, the budget, and the timeline and the master plan. Item six, what are HPC powers? And item seven, discussion and determination of HPC priorities. That sounds like a very ambitious agenda.
But these things don't get placed on every agenda.
No,
they choose. They sit and choose. Yeah. And so, but I want to point out, I think we're putting the cart before the horse. I apologize. I love Lynanne. I love this report. But unless this commission knows what their obligations are, we've done this for 8 years. We've had these reports for the last 8 years. We need to know what our priorities are and what our responsibilities are.
So you're saying the priority should come first.
Exactly. Thank you.
Okay. And just to clarify, when you guys talk about upcoming agenda items, that doesn't necessarily mean next meeting.
I'm just getting priorities set for the next meeting, if I can. Some of them you're going to have to do, like the annual report, and because you've tabled that, you're going to have to elect your chair.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Anybody else?
Obviously, next meeting is completely full, but I would like to propose for the meeting thereafter that we have enlightenment and discussion concerning control of the agenda of the commission. There have been things put on the agenda that obviously I have felt should not have been put on. It also has not been clear to me between meetings what process is used to add things to the agenda. So I would like to have us understand what the current policy is, and if we don't agree with that policy, to be able to amend it.
Commissioner Munden.
I'm sorry. And again, at future agenda items. Again, I'll ask for an update on requests for information about a public relationship for steam pump branch restoration.
Yeah, that's on there. It's on our future agenda items.
Okay, anybody else? Okay. I move to adjourn today's meeting. Is there a second?
I second the motion.
All in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you, guys.